Gamertag Radio listeners, join me on my exclusive session on Bright called Podcasting 101, Building Your Community. I know we have a lot of listeners that want to start their own show, start their own podcast. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to market, how to get new listeners, etc. So join my session Tuesday, June 22nd, 5:30 p.m. Pacific time, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you could join and ask questions, learn from me. I've been podcasting now over 16 years. And there's going to be a lot of people there. The last session we had a lot, and we had a great conversation about how to market, to do certain things, certain tricks to get new listeners, how people could discover your show, etc. So this is your opportunity right now, exclusively on Bright. All you have to do is go to this episode under the description here, and I have the link to where you go to the website and reserve your ticket. Only have a certain amount of tickets available. It's up to you now. Want to join and meet other podcasters and other content creators are going to be also attending this event. So June 22nd, Tuesday, June 22nd at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Spread the word, and I'll see you there exclusively, once again, live on Bright.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to a special episode of Gamertag Radio. This is episode 1138, and this is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me for this special podcast, no more solo episodes, we have Pete Rock in the house. Pete!
What's up, dude?
What's up, man?
How you doing?
What's up?
How you doing?
Good.
The excitement is palpable. We just finished watching the Microsoft E3 showcase for 2021, and I gotta say, they did a pretty good job. They did all right.
Yeah.
They did all right.
Yeah, it was good. It was really, really good. And actually, we're going to talk about it here in a few minutes here. But first, I got to promote the site, Pete. All right. Head over to GamerTagRadio.com and listen to our past episodes. And if you want, go to any podcast app as your search for Gamertag Radio. And yes, you can subscribe to the podcast, follow us, or even post a review. It will help us climb the top of the charts. And if you would like to be part of our family discussion, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so first thing first, we're going to be talking about Xbox Game Showcase. But first, I have to mention this announcement, which was posted right after the stream. And I also mentioned this on a stream with our community there. I'm going to read this. This is straight from Xbox Wired. So people could go right now to Xbox Wired for more information. But it says, of course, it has everything that was announced today, all the announcements from the game showcase and everything. And at the bottom of the post, it says, we are also excited to announce the upcoming Xbox Games Showcase Extended. This is a special showcase hosted by Kind of Funny XCast and Gamertag Radio Paris Lilly. It will air on Thursday, June 17th at 10 a.m. Pacific. So, first of all, congratulations to Paris. He's not here right now. Hopefully, he will join us next time, but I am planning to co-stream that on Thursday at 10 a.m. So hopefully people could join and watch it. It's gonna be a lot of fun, and we got to celebrate. This is a big thing, man. You know, big thing. You want to say anything about this, Pete, before we go to our official discussion?
So first and foremost, you know, of course, congratulations. This is the culmination of all the hard work that our good friend, our brother here has done. And what can you say that hasn't already been said he is slowly, but and doing it the right way, but he's slowly becoming the voice of the, I guess, the adult gamer, right? The person that's not here to troll. It's not here for the lulls or the clicks. He gives his honest opinion. And I can't think of a better person that deserves recognition and honor the way he's getting now, right? He's earned all of it, right? All of the accolades, all of the achievements, no pun intended. And just the props and the shine. He's done it all. He's done it the right way, by giving fair and honest criticism and judgments when necessary, and then giving, you know, props when necessary. He's doing it the right way. You know, I'm proud to call you my friend. I'm even more blessed to call you my brother. Paris, congratulations. You earned it. You did it.
Yeah. It's gonna be good. And it's gonna be very, very exciting to watch this live. I haven't seen anything. Look, Paris hasn't said anything to us. So this is gonna be completely new for us, you know, like to watch it live and everything. And I told him that's good, because we want to be, first of all, he has to respect the NDA, of course, but also I just want to be surprised, man. You know, and this is a very exciting time for him, and it's dope. This is really, really dope. Can't wait. Now, so yeah, I'm going to co-stream this Thursday at 10 a.m. Hopefully you guys could join us, and it's going to be a lot of fun. All right. So let's talk about the Xbox Bethesda Game Showcase. Pete, overall, I think this was the best Xbox press conference or digital showcase they've ever done, because the flow of the editing, the announcements of all type of different genres of games, announcing not only new IPs, but new returning games coming back, right? And then also saying is available on day one on Game Pass, like, and then how they ended at the end with a new IP, and also with the Xbox fridge, which I'm excited about it too. It was well done. The production, everything was just top notch. It didn't feel like usually during past Xbox press conferences, always like there's fillers. I didn't get that vibe at all. I felt like it was just nonstop, and it didn't feel like it was 90 minutes, to tell you the truth. It was good. I gotta give it to them. It was a really, really good game showcase, man. And it's really difficult to pull that off digitally nowadays, you know, because still it's not there's no live events in person, you know, that type of thing. So I gotta give it to them, man. What you thought
about? Probably this is one of the better ones that they've done in the past, you know, the past couple of years. Obviously there's a touch of difference because we're not physically there in the audience, so it's a totally different feeling when you're there in the audience and you've got the energy of the crowd and the fans, but this is a different E3 presentation, but it's also a different Microsoft. The last few years, you know, they've been the underdog, right? And slowly and surely over the last 12 to 18 months, you know, not culminating now with the signing, the acquisition of Bethesda, and the entire catalog of studios and games that comes with that. But they've also leveled up, to say the least, when it comes to how they're approaching the entire next 5 to 10 years. You know, you've got Game Pass, et cetera, but you've got all the studios, and now they're finally pushing aside all of the criticisms of where's your catalog, right? We saw the laundry list of titles. We'll get to that as we go through the show. But they're finally getting to where they needed to be over the last few years. And yeah, it happens with every company. You know, you get stumbling blocks, et cetera. But they're finally stepping out. It's almost like seeing your son or daughter grow up in front of your eyes, right? Like you see them finally doing the right things, getting the right steps to get their future in motion. And yeah, I definitely have to say this is one of the better shows that I've seen, whether it's, you know, online, virtually, or physically. This one probably, I don't know if I would ever give a presentation a 10, but this was probably as close as you could get, all things considered. I don't want to give it a ranking or a rating of X, you know, out of 10 or whatever. I would just say that this is one of the best Xbox showcases I've seen in recent memory.
Yeah. Yeah, totally agree. You know what I felt watching this overall? It felt confidence. Like, they're confident with everything that they've been working on behind the scenes and stuff that we're going to get to see in the future, not only with games, but also with services. And it feels good, man, as an Xbox fan that I've been there since day one, you know, back in 2001. It's good seeing this, man. It's good because Pete, remember, there was some time that we were like, oh, man, this is not looking good for Xbox. I didn't get that vibe at all with this, at all. Like, I'm happy to be an owner of the console. I'm happy to be a subscriber of Xbox. I'm just happy to see this. All the games they announced, there's something that I'm like, okay, there's something for everyone. Doesn't matter what type of genre it is. Mm-hmm. And even if you're not into that, you could experiment to see maybe you would like it because you could download it through Game Pass. And if it doesn't work out for you, move on, play your games that you like. But it's so cool to see this, man. And I have to say, one of the things I'm very, very excited and very happy to see, because we talked about this during the stream, but when I got to see the New Horizon game that is going to take place in Mexico, and I even mentioned this to you, Pete, that it's good that a company is highlighting Mexico like this, because usually the media will always show like the bad parts and the crime and this and this and that, or, you know, something that's like totally negative. And this is something positive, man, to see a beautiful country like Mexico, man. It's so dope to see this, man. You know what I'm saying? So I can't wait to play Horizon. I'm super excited to play, you know. And another game that I almost fainted was The Outer Worlds 2. I know it's extremely early, but that was my favorite game of the year, was Outer Worlds. Like, I love that game so much. And I enjoyed all the DLC content that came out throughout the year. And I'm excited for the future. Like, I love Obsidian. And I'm very excited to play that, man. I can't wait, man. But I definitely got to mention this. So looking at this image that they sent to the media, and also you can find it on Xbox Wire, there's an image of all the stuff that's coming to Xbox Game Pass in 2021. One is Yakuza Like a Dragon in June, which is actually June 13th. That's right now. What is it? D&D Dark Alliance, June 22nd. The Ascent. Sable Among Us. Back for Blood, October 12th. Are you surprised Back for Blood on Game Pass, Pete?
I wouldn't say I'm surprised. I mean, the rumors on social and on the internets, mm-hmm. hinted towards it. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised. I mean, think about it. One of the reasons that many people will grab the Game Pass is a cheaper, barrier of entry, and you get an opportunity to tie in and play with your friends. And what game over the that's been announced or that has been playable in a demo form over the last, I'd say, 3 to 6 months is still fresh on the minds of everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, you launch it right during the holiday season, October 12th. It comes out before the madness of Halo and Battlefield and Call of Duty, which usually comes out around the same time. You launch it ahead of time, coupled with Game Pass, and you've got a recipe for winning right there, right? You don't have, you know, if you're already in the subscription model, you don't have an additional, you know, forking of cash out, and you get to play a stupid fun co-op experience in Back 4 Blood. You know, you and Paris, and I can't remember who was the other person that played it. We all played it together a couple months ago during the alpha. We had a blast. Yeah. And that's why wouldn't you want to put that out on Game Pass? So yeah, shout out to Warner Brothers. Great, you know, great game, great, mm-hmm. Great integration with Xbox and Game Pass. And yeah, it's woo, it's gonna be a doozy. Yeah.
Now, official date for Psychonauts 2, Pete, August 25th. What you feel? Because you got to see this game early, mm-hmm. behind closed doors and at E3. Now that there's an official date, and I think August is the perfect time for this game because it's right before the craziness during the holidays. It's going to get that shine, you know, during the summer. So I think this is a good one.
There's a lot of games.
Perfect timing for this.
There's a lot of mm-hmm. games coming out. And it almost feels, remember a couple of years ago when they did the Summer of Xbox, where it was like every week a new title would appear?
Yeah.
It almost feels the same, but with Game Pass, but it's no longer like the single A, the double A, or the indie games. It's games. I mean, let's just take the August timeframe for example. You've got 12 minutes. You've got Psychonauts 2. You've got Hades finally coming to Xbox. You know how I feel about Hades. You saw my reaction during the showcase. And if you've been listening for the last, you know, if you listen to the show, at least for the last 7 months, Hades was my game of the year for 2021. I don't care what anybody wants to say. Fine. It released in a limited scope on just PC and on Switch. But if you played it, you understood exactly why that game was not just mine, but it was a game of the year on a lot of other media publications list, you know, game of the year list. Mm-hmm. And it's ridiculously fun. It's a great roguelike. If you like games like that, we saw a couple of games that looked very, very similar to that, here on the showcase as well. We saw Replaced, which looks, the artwork doesn't look the same, but it looks like it's got a roguelike action platformer type experience. Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good.
But going back to the Psychonauts, if you played it back in the day, I think even back then it was ahead of its time with a lot of the stuff that you do in the game. If anything, the only knock on it that me personally I had for that was the camera. The camera was always a little goofy, a little wonky for me, but it, mm-hmm. you know, but it still translated to a really, really fun game. And while I didn't get to have hands on, I did see, yeah, I did see gameplay behind closed doors. I think it was a year ago, 2 years ago. But you know what? It might have been last year at last E3 because I was still in the States. No, it wasn't last year. It was 2 years ago.
Oh, that was in 2019.
Yeah, because I was still in the States. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, it looked like it was a lot of fun. It was one of my surprise hits of 2019, and it's finally coming. It's finally coming to our platforms. So I'm looking forward to that for sure. I can't wait.
Yeah. I have to read this because I just got this email from Xbox, and it says Xbox Bethesda Games Showcase was all about content, showing off brand new titles from AAA blockbusters to indie masterpieces. We showed 30 games, and I repeat, 30 games, 27 of which will be in Xbox Game Pass. That's when you... When we say confident in the beginning, this is an example right here. 30 games, only 3 is not available for Game Pass. 27 of them will be available to the service. That's insane. Insane. Wow. Back-to-back releases, monthly releases throughout the whole 2021. That's huge.
Insane. That's insane.
That's huge. Like, I've never seen this from Xbox in the 20 years that as a fan, never seen this before, man. Also, it showed Halo Infinite featuring free-to-play multiplayer for the first time in its storied history, giving us an opportunity to build the biggest Halo community ever launching this holiday. I am very surprised that there was no date for Halo. Very, very surprised. I don't know. I just hope they release this on the 20th anniversary of Halo Combat Evolved. I hope. I think that would be cool, in my opinion. But I get it. We're still in the middle of a pandemic. You know, it's not 100%. But, Pete, watching the presentation of Halo, graphically, it looks way better than last year. Way better. Cleaner. A lot better.
Okay. So I want us to temper our expectations and try not to get caught up in the moment. I do get that it's exciting, right? It's super, it's like I said in the pre-show, the most anticipated game of 21, right? And E3, everybody was watching this. Everybody wanted to know what was going to happen for the announcement of Halo Infinite. Everybody knew it was coming, and yet everybody was still sitting there, bated breath, on tippy toes, just excitement level was at 9,000, right? Mm-hmm. You know, what did we see? We saw Master Chief. We saw a new AI that's not Cortana for the first time, right?
Mm-hmm.
No brutes. The only thing we saw was a grunt floating in the air, and that it, you know, it bumped into Master Chief. He grabbed it and he chucked it, but we didn't see any close up of it. Knowing what happened last year, I'm surprised that they didn't focus on that. But part of me says, you know what? They didn't want to make the focus anything else but Master Chief. And that's why all you saw for the most part on that entire trailer was Master Chief traversing that low gravity area, you know, his interaction with the new AI. We don't know the name of it. So, you know, we're grasping at straws if we try to think we know what it is.
Well, you talk about Cortana, but it's just reset. Like, it's like everything has been erased. You're talking about
that
part?
That was a totally different, that's not Cortana at all. Cortana was deleted according to the trailer that we watched. Cortana was deleted, and she was supposed to, the new AI that was there that replaced her was supposed to be automatically deleted after that happened, but she is still there. Mm-hmm. So we don't know who or what sent in the request or the command to delete Cortana, and then what happened. Why didn't the new AI get deleted? And so that is what the new mission is going to be. You know, we saw him pick up, we saw the pistol. You had me at pistol. Mm-hmm. We saw him with the BR. You had me at BR. You saw him put the slot in the back of the head. So now the new AI is part of Master Chief.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we saw the grappling hook. We don't know if that's going to be a thing. We saw multiplayer is now going to be free to play. So official confirmation. Campaign will debut in the holiday season. But like you said, there was no exact date given. Will it be the 15th of November, which is when the original CE launched?
That's what I hope so. That would be cool if they could.
That would make sense, especially because it'll be the 20th anniversary. That would be the ideal opportunity. I know last year we were hoping that because it would be the, you know, the 20th anniversary, the official of the original Xbox or whatever.
Yeah.
But this being the 20th anniversary makes sense. It makes sense. It makes sense if Microsoft and 343 were to say, let's do this. So it all points to, you know, you saw the confidence in Joe Staten. So it looks like what he was brought in to do is working, right? He, you know, his
100%.
So that is, you know, the confidence that they showed in the trailer, or actually the confidence he showed throughout the show, but most specifically towards Halo, because again, I hate to sound like a broken record, but that is the thing that everybody was waiting to see. And I don't want to say 10 out of 10 trailer of the show. Definitely got me excited. I was sitting there mouth wide open, you know, looking like a buffoon, just, you know, in the camera, but it got the heart pumping. It got the excitement going, which is what that moment was designed to do. Get everybody excited and get the blood rushing for Halo Infinite coming this holiday season.
No, totally agree. Totally agree with that. And I'm going to read another thing here. It says 6 huge games released in 6 months, all day one on Xbox Game Pass. 2 exclusive Bethesda games. So, which is Starfield, which is coming out next year. Not surprised about that, but I like that in bold. And they started the show with Starfield saying Xbox exclusive. That was a huge, huge thing to see. I'm excited. Now, Pete, Redfall, this is coming out summer of 2022. Exclusive to Xbox Series X and S and PC. That's one thing I have to say before we talk about that game, is now you're getting to see a lot of the games that at the bottom of the trailer, it says Xbox Series X, S, like it's for the new consoles. It's not for Xbox One. Usually, companies will say, here's the game trailer. Everybody's excited. Everybody's thinking it's going to be next gen. But then later, they'll release a press release or they'll do an interview saying, oh, it's also for the older console and the new console. I'm glad to see that Xbox is saying, no. This is for the new consoles and it's at the bottom. Which is, if you think about it, it's the perfect timing because Matt Booty, back in January of last year, said that they're going to have cross-gen games for at least 2 years. 2022 is year two for the console, and that's like the perfect time. Like, okay, we're moving on. Now, let's stick with the new consoles and PC. I think that's the right thing. Instead of doing this like hitting and not saying much until it gets closer to the release, I think this is the right way to communicate, the perfect way to communicate to the consumers, I think, you know. But the question I was going to ask you was a Redfall. It has that Left 4 Dead vibe, four players. It looks very intense, but instead of zombies, it's vampires, right? It looks really good. And it's a first-person shooter. And this is from the team behind Prey and Dishonored. And it's coming out in 2022.
Let's not forget.
Yeah.
They're also the developer of Deathloop, which hasn't come out yet. So, you know. As soon as he said Arcane, it got my attention, right? Because we've seen what Arcane can do. Arcane is one of those studios, although they have, you know, they don't have the full swath of catalog games of experience. The ones that they do have done very, very well, right?
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to playing that one. I love the co-op experience. I think, and I've said this before, I think the zombie genre is a little washed. I think it's a good time to go for a different type of meta for games like this. And it's good to see that they said, you know, we're not going to go with the tried and true zombie experience. Everybody else is doing that. Again, we see Back 4 Blood at the top of the show, you know, that, you know, they're coming. Why do what everybody else is doing? And Arcane has always shown that they do what everybody else is not doing. Right. Mm-hmm. They went in a different direction. And we saw the reaction from not just us, but everybody in the chat, et cetera. So yeah, that's definitely going to be another one. I loved the color of the characters. I love the hair mechanics that they used. Beautiful. They finally got away from the standard Afro and the standard cornrow BS that every game developer has always done. They finally gave a character of color some actual hair of color that's been missing from gameplay.
Yes.
I love the fact that
she reminds me so much of Rihanna, one of the characters.
The hair looks exactly like hers. That's why I was like that. I was like, wow, Rihanna's been doing some character modeling for Arcane. She's been doing some character modeling for Arcane. Shout out to her. Yeah. But it's just the whole thing. You had some of the voice acting as well with the Latin influence as well. So again, going back to what you were talking about with Forza Horizon as well, during that unveiling was, you know, finally us Latinos were starting to get that influence into it. So
yes,
it's fantastic. Yes.
Yeah. No, really looking it's forward exciting. To that. Look, man, it's exciting. It's exciting, man, to see this, dude. Like, you know, I'm not gonna lie, I got like emotional seeing Forza in Mexico. Like it's dope. It's so dope seeing this, man. Like, you know, I want to see more companies highlighting beautiful countries, man, from Latin America. I mean, we don't get to see that, man.
Right.
Every time we see something, go ahead.
No, sorry, we're seeing it again. You know, we saw it here with Redfall. We saw it with Forza Horizon 5. We also saw it for Far Cry 6 with the Hispanic South American. I want to say it's more South American Caribbean influence. I don't want to say it's pure Caribbean influence. You're Dominican. I'm Cuban. Mm-hmm. We don't talk like that. We talk with our hands.
Yeah, we were like, if you see me with a stream like this, it's because of that. It's a Caribbean thing. I don't know. Yeah. By the way, very quick. Doom Eternal next gen patch. Its details are out. Looks like, this is from Tom Warren, looks like Xbox Series X will be the best way to play 120 FPS mode. So Xbox Series X, there's a performance mode, which is 1800p, 120 FPS. You could also put a balance mode, which is 2160p, 60 frames per second. And ray tracing mode, 800p, 60 frames per second. So that's pretty cool. And also there's details for like Xbox Series X, S, I mean. But this is really cool. So the details are out about that. Man, there was like so much, man. So many games. So especially the indie games, 12 Minutes. I definitely want to play that. That comes out in August. Also Game Pass. Yeah, it's cool. It's really, really cool. Was there any other game, Pete, that stood out to you? That you were like, you know what? It doesn't have to be a shooter, but something different, like, you know.
Finally seeing a release date for 12 Minutes. That was good. I could have sworn we saw this game last year. Maybe it was just because we saw when we were doing our E3 coverage last year, we saw it and it was like, okay, maybe that's when I saw it, but I'm happy that it's coming out August 19th.
Yeah.
Seeing another expansion come out for Fallout 76 was actually surprising. So Steel Rain is coming out July 7th. And then The Pit, which is going to be another expansion for Fallout, that comes out in 22. Diablo 2 Resurrected, that caught me off guard. It was like, why not 3?
I was very surprised about that.
Loved 3, so I would love to see something for that. So I was caught a little bit surprised by that one. Honestly, I think we've covered all of the ones that really surprised me. The ones that really got me.
I have one. I have one that I haven't mentioned, that I was about to mention. Yo, Sea of Thieves and Disney partnership? Yes. Pete. That's huge. I'm happy because that game is so underrated. So underrated. And it's a beautiful game and it's fun playing with friends. But having Disney partnering with Rare and Xbox, I think this is going to help push the game more to the mainstream audience now. You know what I'm saying? It's like that was a really smart move, actually, man. So, so smart from Xbox to do that. So that's one thing that I was like in shock. I was like, wait, what? You know, this game been out for a while now, you know what I'm saying? So it's good.
Stalker 2 looks Stalker really, 2. Really good. If you remember, if you played the first one, it literally looks like they've just iterated for 22 on it and it looks really interesting. The one that I'm surprised we didn't see was Crossfire X. They've made such a big deal about that partnership.
That is true. Yeah.
Over the last year, especially last year at E3, they made a big splash about that one. It's huge overseas and nothing on this one. So I don't know if there's a development crux on that one or they had enough content for this year's and they were like, you know what?
Yeah.
We'll use that to feed the news cycle like in a few months.
Well, remember too, they Xbox still have an opportunity to announce and show more games during Gamescom, which probably going to be digital later this year. It happens around August, September, you know. But I do want to mention this, Pete, and I want to ask you as a first-person shooter fan, Battlefield 2042, man, your thoughts about the multiplayer overall? Now they show us actual gameplay. It's not the typical CGI trailers that we always get to see. Now we got to see how the game plays. You like it or what?
So knowing that they're getting away from World War II and that whole era is refreshing for me. And I've said it for years. I truly think that World War II is a washed experience. I'm not a fan of it. I understand that there are fans and I am not the person that shooter games should be targeting as you know, the person. I've also voiced that I'm not a big fan of Battlefield games. I tend to go towards Call of Duties, PUBGs, Rainbow Sixes. That's where my shooting game allegiances sit. Mm-hmm. That being said, because it's moved on from World War II, it piqued my interest. Then we saw grappling hooks and jumpsuits. You got me some more. And then, you know, just overall, the way that that system in general has iterated over the years, and it's improved. Mm-hmm. You could have me as a gamer because it looked really, really good. The problem is going to be is, will it hook me, right? Yeah. Will it hook me? Will it hook others? Because, and I've seen it not just on Battlefield, but I've seen it on almost every shooter title. It all goes in waves of jumps and of ups and downs. And it's how those titles are able to bring those players back after they've stepped away and no longer want to play it.
Yeah.
That's the true crux of that's the true target of most developers is it's not how do we get it? Because we know that that first 3 to 6, maybe that first 3 months easy, everybody plays that game nonstop. If you're a fan of whether it's Call of Duty or Battlefield or Halo or whatever shooting game you play, your main, you play that nonstop for that first 3 months, but it's how do you maintain that attention? How do you maintain that hype and draw? Like we saw it, perfect example is the Division 2. Big hype level. Yeah. 3 months later, fell to the floor, you know?
No, not 3 months later. It took a couple months later because they were still adding content.
Right, but you know what I mean.
I don't know about three. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
But you've seen it with every single title. It gets super hype, then the next game comes out and everybody forgets and uninstalls the game before that, right? So how do you stay, how do you keep the players engaged? And that's going to be, I think that's going to be a big target that Battlefield 2042 has to address. Excuse me, has to address.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's good. I'm actually reading people's reactions for about the press conference on Twitter, and it looks very, very positive so far. Very positive from a lot of people, man. Even people that were always very critical about Xbox, a lot of them are also liking it too, man. So it's really cool to see this, man.
So one of the things, going back to the 2042 thing, I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that caught my attention was the ability to switch attachments on your gun in real time. But then there's also moments where you're able to go and switch classes, because in one of the scenes, you see the sniper gun, then you see next to it, SMG, rocket launcher, heals, C4. Are we no longer required to do 4-man teams? Are we just 1-man armies now?
Yeah, that's very strange. I've never seen that before. I think that's a good thing because is gameplay and experience now is going to be a little bit different now, you know? So I wonder how that's going to work out overall, you know? But I'm excited to try it out, you know? Now, there's always been a conversation now ever since Battlefield was announced, or even when people were talking about it. You know, even Paris brought this up. We were like, is it possible for this game to be on Game Pass or what? Now with this, I don't know if it's going to be on Game Pass. I don't know. It doesn't look like. I mean, there is still time to do that.
I don't think it's going to be. And if you think that there is going to be that this game is going to go on Game Pass, I think you're going to be sadly mistaken. I'd rather be wrong for this assumption or this. I'd much rather be wrong now or later, but I can't see them doing that. This is a tentpole. This is one of those titles that people throw money at. People don't pay rent to pay this to play this game, right? So I don't see this game going on a Game Pass subscription anytime soon. Maybe in the spring or summer of next year, but you're not going to see this up front. There's going to be way too many people playing this game, and then you put this on Game Pass. You think EA is going to be able to do their servers right?
Mm-hmm. No way.
EA is going to be able to do their servers right to support the multiplayer?
I hope so. I mean,
they can't. They every game more or less has this issue at launch for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to try and put that many more subscriber players on that title day one?
Yo, it's 128 players, man, and that's just one session.
And you want to add that many more Game Pass subscribers trying to play that game on top of the already massive player base that's going to be playing that game day one, day two?
Well, I wonder if Microsoft is going to help them with the servers. I wonder, because they did that with Timefall, and it helped a lot for the launch of Timefall. So I don't
Titanfall
know.
Titanfall or Titanfall
2? I have 2? No idea. No, Timefall 1.
Yeah, that was an exclusive console. So yeah. They had to.
But this is a marketing exclusive for Xbox. But you know, at the same time, why not get that support? You know, I don't see any problem with it. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Unless EA pays for the servers, you know, right. Saying like that's possible. Anything else? All right, so I'm seeing tweets like this right now on Twitter. People calling it easily one of the best Xbox events ever. I mean, yo, I'm thinking what has been close to this or better than this from the past on Xbox. I can't remember any press conference or digital game showcase I've done that is this amount of announcements, this amount of like confidence from the team. I can't think of one, man. And it didn't feel like there was fillers in here at all. For 90 minutes, that's really hard to pull off, man.
Hmm.
Again, I can't think of it.
Again,
I don't know.
In recent memory, I can't think of one. I probably have to spend some time, go back through the memory banks.
Because I've been going to, I think the first time that I ever been to a Xbox press conference was on 2006. That was my first one. Honestly speaking, I can't remember any other press conference that has been better than this. That, I'm talking about like presentation, amount of content, announcements, the editing, the pacing, confidence from the team. Because there's been moments that I seen people on stage and you could tell they don't sound confident. Like, I'm going to give you a perfect example. When Phil Spencer announced the price for Xbox One, yo, he had no confidence now. He was just like, like it was like that. Like it was weird, you know? But that was Don Matrick days. You know what I'm saying? This time, it's like, no, we got this. Like that's how it feels like that. Like, yo, we got this. This is the games that we have. These are exclusive. By the way, we have more studios coming, more announcements in the future. Like, you know what I hate when companies do this? When they recycle the same games that have been announced years ago. So, like, I'm going to give an example. Like, I think we've seen, I'm not going to mention the company, like, and then people are going to be talking smack. But there's companies that will show a game, and then the year after that, show it again. The year after that, show it again for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. That's you're recycling the same information. It's okay, too. You know, that's okay. We're two. But I'm talking about, like, E3 vibes. E3 announcements. Here, there's a lot of games that we have never... This is like our first time seeing it for the first time ever. AAA, indie games, everything. And that's the thing that I like to see, man. You know what I'm saying? Nintendo's really, really good with that. Of like, yeah, they'll show a couple of games that we've seen, right? But sometimes they will surprise us with that new announcements. And that's how I felt with this one, man. That type of vibe, you know? Is there anything else you want to mention before we wrap it up?
I'm trying to think. What are the games? Oh, the Flight Simulator finally coming to Xbox on July 27th. I love the Top Gun expansion that's coming. That's another one. I've always been a massive fan of fighter jets. So seeing, as soon as I heard the...
You knew right away. People were like, exactly, oh, man, Top Gun. Like,
Top Gun. And then I saw
Top Gun 2 is coming out this year, right?
So yeah, the movie comes out. Yeah, the movie comes out. I think it's tied to the movie release. I don't know if it's the same time frame.
That's smart.
It's a marketing / ad integration, and I think it's great that they went and did that. Trying to think of what else. I mean, obviously the Outer Worlds 2, you know, announcement floored you probably more so than anything else.
Passed out, man. People just called it the best reaction at E3 so far. by the way, you want to see the character from Redfall?
She's exclusively here
on GTR. You're not gonna find it anywhere else. She's coming right now. She's getting something over there, but we're gonna bring her over here, and this is exclusive, y'all. No other stream, no IGN has, nobody. This is an exclusive. The official character from Redfall, live in GTR. She just wants to say hello. Let's see. She's getting ready, getting makeup ready, getting everything ready over here. Exclusively. Yo, I'm telling you, Bethesda, look, we do it quick. We get the people over here right away, man. Exclusive interview. And the hair ready. Oh, man, look at this. Wait, let's see. She's going over here. Exclusively on Gamertag Radio, character from Redfall. What we have to say, how you feel like now everybody finally announced the game?
Oh, I'm just glad the news is finally out and everybody can share my story and play along with me with Arkane Studios. Thank you.
Yes, there you go. That's an exclusive, y'all. You're not going to find that anywhere else. Only on GTR, yo.
It's amazing. Down to the hair color and everything is fantastic.
Yeah. All right, we're going to wrap it up here, man. Everyone, thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to and also watching Gamertag Radio live here on Twitch and also on the podcast apps. Head over to GamertagRadio.com and listen to our past episodes. And you also can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. And make sure to follow us, subscribe, and also post a review. It will help us out a lot. And if you would like to be part of our family discussion, you agree with us, disagree, do you disagree with Pete? You agree with Pete? Let us know.
If you know what's good.
And this is how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, first of all, congratulations once again to Paris. I'm going to be co-streaming the extended Xbox Game Showcase that's happening later this week on Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific. And we're going to wrap it up here. Pete, thank you so much for recording and also joining me for this live stream, man. It was a lot of fun. It's getting dark over there, I see.
Yeah.
It's very late.
Actually, no. I've got the shutters down. It is the summertime, so it does get a little warm. It's 9:30. The sun's still out.
All right, cool. Yeah, it's 12:24 over here. It's really early. I just want to say, everyone, thank you so much, man. And I'm probably going to be streaming the Square Enix. Let me see what time is the Square Enix today. It's later on. But just want to say thanks, everyone, for watching. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Peace out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.